I have the distinguished honor of presenting the President of the United States.
President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate and the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation. And at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. Indeed, 1 hour after, Japanese air squadrons had commenced bombing in the American island of Oahu, the Japanese ambassador to the United States and his colleague delivered to our Secretary of State a formal reply to a recent American message. And while this reply stated that it seemed useless to continue the existing diplomatic negotiations, it contained no threat or hint of war or of armed attack. It will be recorded that the distance of Hawaii from Japan makes it obvious that the attack was deliberately planned many days or even weeks ago. During the intervening time, the Japanese government has deliberately sought to deceive the United States by false statements and expressions of hope for continued peace. The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. In addition, American ships have been reported torpedoed on the high seas between San Francisco and Honolulu. Yesterday, the Japanese government also launched an attack against Malaya. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Hong Kong. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Guam. Last night, Japanese forces attacked the Philippine Islands. Last night, the Japanese attacked Reed Island. And this morning, the Japanese attacked Midway Island. Japan has therefore undertaken a surprise offensive extending throughout the Pacific area. The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves. The people of the United States have already formed their opinions and well understand the implications to the very life and safety of our nation. As Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, I have directed that all measures be taken for our defense, but always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us. no matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory. That will make it very certain that this form of treachery shall never again endanger us. Hostilities exist. There is no blinking at the fact that our people, our territory, and our interests are in grave danger. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph, so help us God. Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack by Japan on Sunday, December 7, 1941, a state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire.
Ladies and gentlemen, the national anthem. Congress to declare a state of war, that a state of war exists between the United States and Japan. He has retired from the chamber of the House of Representatives, from which point he has spoken to the joint session of the Congress. The Speaker has declared the joint session dissolved. The members of the President's Cabinet have retired. They were followed immediately by the members of the Supreme Court, and now the Senate is leaving the House chamber. The applause you hear in the background comes from the members of the House who cheer their colleagues from the other side of the Capitol building. 96 senators, presumably most of them here because, well, it would appear that they are, slowly filing out the center aisle, the north door of the House chamber, down the long corridor to the Senate chamber. The Speaker of the House conferring for a moment with his parliamentarian, Louis Dreisler. And we'll stay with the action here on the House floor for a few moments in order that we may bring you the introduction of the resolution by the Honorable John W. McCormick of Massachusetts, the Majority Leader of the House of Representatives, whom we've been told will present the resolution for the House of Representatives, recognizing the state of war does exist between the United States and the Empire of Japan, and carrying out the request of the President, as stated in his brief message today. The last few members of the Senate just now leaving the House chamber. Gentlemen, in a few moments, the House of Representatives will go back in session, but we have been asked by the Speaker of the House to discontinue broadcasting from the House floor. For a moment, we will switch you over to the Senate side. If Brackage is standing by there, we might have just a word from him, if he's there. Mr. Brackage, have you a word from the Senate?
The Senate Radio Gallery, this is Don Gardner speaking to you. And now we turn the microphone over to Brockage,
our noted NBC commentator,
with a few observations on the facts of the day. Brockage.
Brockage talking from the Radio Gallery of the Senate. The Senate chamber is still empty. They are waiting for the Senate to come back to consider the resolution that I read to you before. You've heard the President speak, and it might be interesting to compare it with the outstanding paragraph of Woodrow Wilson's address to Congress in 1917. As you see, the resolution itself is identical except for the word British and Japanese. And here's what the President Wilson said in 1917. For democracy, for the right of those who submit to authority to have a voice in their own government, for the rights and liberties of small nations, for universal domination of right by such a concert of free peoples, it shall bring peace and safety to all nations and make the world itself at last free. To such a task, we can dedicate our lives and our fortunes, everything that we are and everything that we have, with the pride of those who know that the day has come when America is privileged to spend her blood and her might for the principles that gave her birth and happiness and the peace which she has treasured. God helping her, she can do no other. And under the impact of that, the resolution was introduced. How different. As you see, the President merely presented the case as it stood, the case of a nation betrayed and attacked while it was attempting to carry on efforts to assure peace. It is unlikely that there will be much opposition to this resolution, that's certain. That's all for the moment, and thanks very much.
Thank you, Brockage, from the Senate side of the Capitol building. Now, for just a brief summary from our position here in the House of Representatives, Morgan Beatty.
The most significant point about the whole President's address is its brevity. Heretofore, in asking Congress to declare the existence of war between this nation and another, the chief executives have found it necessary to review at great length, as Brockage has just told you in Mr. Wilson's case, all of the events that led up to the disastrous and tragic climax. In this case, the President made you a 500-word factual news summary, as he expected we would in advance. His most significant statement was, outside of the actual request for a legal definition of war, was that the whole nation will always remember the character of this onslaught against us. The American people will win through to absolute victory no matter how long it takes. He's taking full advantage there of the fact that we were attacked, that we had no opportunity to expect this situation was going to arise. In making the simple statement at the end that he was asking Congress, in view of the attacks by the Japanese in the last 24 hours, to recognize that a state of war has existed between us and the Japanese Empire, he paved the way for the House's resolution, which will follow.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude our broadcasting from the United States Capitol Building in Washington. You heard the President of the United States address a joint session of Congress and ask that this nation declare war against Japan. This is Carlton Smith speaking. We take you now to the NBC newsroom in New York.
From the newsroom in New York, two bulletins. The first is datelined London. The Free French Government of General Charles de Gaulle today declared war on Japan. And from Rio de Janeiro, President Getulio Vargas and his cabinet agreed at a meeting today to give absolute solidarity to the United States. The government announced that officially. These bulletins have come from the NBC newsroom in New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Overture. Overture by Mendelssohn. Joseph Calicchio and the orchestra continue now playing the poem by Fiedig.
Our program at this time to bring you a special bulletin. From the NBC newsroom in New York, a bulletin dateline Singapore. The Singapore command issued a communique late today acknowledging that confused fighting continues in the Kota Bharu airdrum area. Now, Kota Bharu is 300 miles north of Singapore, an immediate target of Japanese invasion. Earlier, Japanese units attempting to penetrate Malaya from the north were reported being mopped up. Singapore itself had been under air attack today, with the casualties counted at 63 dead and 133 injured. And the Berlin radio reports that Tokyo had its first blackout tonight. The broadcast was heard by the NBC listening post. Here's another bulletin just being handed me. The dateline is Hong Kong. British headquarters in Hong Kong issued the following communique tonight. The defense plan continues to develop satisfactorily. Further demolitions are being made. In a raid this afternoon, a few bombs were dropped, but the raiders scattered as soon as they were fired on, and damage and casualties were not extensive. One Japanese plane was reported shot down over Green Island off the western entrance to Hong Kong Harbor. These bulletins have come to you from the NBC newsroom in New York. We return you now to Chicago.
Koski has written a very beautiful descriptive piece titled Severe. You hear it played now by Joseph Calicchio and the orchestra.
at this point to bring you a special bulletin. From Washington, ladies and gentlemen, the dateline, the Senate has unanimously passed the war resolution. I'll repeat that once again. The dateline of the bulletin is from Washington. The Senate unanimously has just passed the war resolution. We take you now to Washington.
Bulkhead's talking. We are overlooking the chamber of the Senate in Washington. The vote is now going on the joint resolution for war. Almost immediately, Senator Connally arose and asked for immediate consideration of the joint resolution. And I'm going to read it to you again. Whereas the Imperial Japanese government has committed unprovoked acts of war against the government and people of the United States of America, therefore, be it resolved by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, that the state of war between the United States and the Imperial Japanese government, which has thus been thrust upon the United States, is hereby formally declared, and the President is hereby authorized and directed to employ the entire naval and military forces of the United States and the resources of the government to carry on war against the Imperial Japanese government and to bring the conflict to a successful termination. All of the resources of the country are hereby pledged by the Congress of the United States. That was read by the clerk. The Senate was silent, was willing and anxious to consider it immediately. But Senator Vandenberg of Michigan arose and said he desired a comment. Senator Connally said in a very quiet voice he had hoped that we could proceed immediately without comment. But Senator Vandenberg, he said that he must rise and say something for the record. He drew out a typewritten paper and began to read, out of peaceful skies and so forth. Japan had violated our soil, killed our citizens. He read about a page, concluding with the fact that he wanted to go on record and emphasize his change of attitude comment. But Senator Vandenberg, he said that he must rise and say something for the record. He drew out a typewritten paper and began to read, out of peaceful skies and so forth. Japan had violated our soil, killed our citizens. He read about a page, concluding with the fact that he wanted to go on record and emphasize his change of attitude and began to read, out of peaceful skies.